Stampede Blue. What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense. Colt-centric, talk about it often. Stampede Blue, let's air it out.
Welcome back to another Stampede Blue Colts cast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for coming back to the show. I hope that all of you had a very wonderful Christmas with your families and loved ones, and that you guys were actually able to enjoy the holiday. I know that I was, took a few days off from a little bit of everything for the most part so that I could enjoy it with my family, and it was much needed. I hope that you guys were all able to have a very Merry Christmas, and hopefully you guys had a great time as well. I know that I did. So took the extra couple days here before the recap. I think we are all pretty excited about the way that this last game turned out in Week 16 against the Giants. Colts end up taking it 28-27. Kind of a long story short type deal here. I mean, the Colts end up getting 21 in the second half to come back and win that, including a touchdown, you know, a final touchdown, I guess you could say, to Chester Rogers. Very exciting stuff. It was definitely a game that we kind of resemble, or that resembles the past with the Colts. You see these games in the past where, let's even go back to the days of Peyton Manning, where you see the Colts are down a couple scores, but you're never really scared that the Colts are going to just completely botch it. Even in the early years of Andrew Luck, how many game-winning drives and fourth-quarter comebacks did he pull out? It looks like we've got a similar team to that this year. Plus, they've got a little more stability in the play calling. They've got a little more stability in the defense. They've got a little more stability in the offensive line. And maybe a little is an understatement here, but there are more pieces going on with this team than I think that we've seen in a long time. So it's pretty exciting. The Colts defense, though, you know, one of these games where kind of similar to, I think it was the first matchup against the Jaguars, while the Jaguars are going downfield, looking to score, the Colts end up pulling out a fumble recovery in the waning moments as they're literally about to lose the game, it seems, to a simple field goal attempt. And this is kind of similar, except Eli Manning becomes Eli Manning again after he looked really pretty sharp through the majority of the game, and the receivers for New York looked good, especially with as many people as they had out of the lineup. I thought that the Giants looked much better than their record for three quarters of that game. The Colts kind of looked very very average, you know, especially on defense in that game. They did okay. They looked good. They got some pressure at times, but in the end, they did not sack Eli Manning, and that's something that the Colts have to be able to do, and this is not a great offensive line, I don't think. So the Colts end up not being able to really force Eli's hand until the last moments of the game where he throws a pick to Hooker. So I think that what we're looking at there is an excitement because the Colts are still in it. The Colts are in a win and in situation here. Sunday gets flexed to prime time against the Titans, and we are in a win or go home situation. Nothing that I think that many Colts fans expected the team to be in. We've talked about this over the past couple weeks. This has been really, we have experienced both sides of the complete opposite sides of the spectrum this season. The Colts starting 1-5, going, 8-9, 9-10, and coming back to win, you know, opportunity for a 10-win season. I mean, this is not something that many of us expected. I didn't expect the Colts to be this close to 10 wins. I think that I might have had them 8-8, I think, on the season, preseason expectations, and I think that Stephen Reed, I think he had them at 9-7. So we are looking very closely at what we expected from this team for the most part. Let's look at a couple things here real quick before we move on to the injury report, the look ahead to the Titans and whatnot for the final game of the regular season for the Colts. Marlon Mack and the running game doesn't do much. 49 total rushing yards, 3.1 average, not great at all. Okay, I mean, there's only, 14 carries the entire game outside of Andrew Luck's two carries. So not a lot of running game in general. I mean, Luck threw the ball 47 times. That's to be expected, that the running game obviously is not going to get the dedication that it deserves in those situations when the Colts are down 14-0 in the first quarter. That's just not going to produce a whole lot of the running game. It doesn't matter how much you want to stick to the script. It just is not going to happen. On the other hand, The Giants ran the ball 29 times, and the Colts held them to 2.9 yards per carry, including 21 carries for 43 yards at a two-point average for Saquon Barkley. This 2 weeks in a row. Now, I tend to give this a little more credence because they actually ran the ball the entire game, whereas the week before, the Colts were playing the Cowboys, and we didn't see that kind of dedication in the second half from Ezekiel Elliott in the offense of the Cowboys because they simply were in the opposite situation, similar to what the Colts were in the second half of this game. They had to go to the pass because they were getting smoked, and it did, obviously their passing game is nowhere near what the Colts was, but Ezekiel Elliott was held to under 90 yards rushing, and the Colts did a pretty stinking good job on that group as well. So nice to see that the Colts are able to continue some solid run defense into week 16. I mean, and heading into week 17 even. This is going to be important because Derrick Henry is no sissy, okay? He has had probably the best 3 to 4 games of his career, I would probably presume, and this is going to be a big test. It's going to be a really big test. He's a big, powerful guy. The Colts are going to have to just punch him in the mouth from their very first series and not let him get anything going, make him dance in the backfield, make him stutter and try to do something that he isn't really capable or isn't in his breadbasket in terms of what he can do skill set wise. So we'll get on to that in a little bit. Let's continue with what we saw against the Giants. Hilton gets 7 grabs for 138 yards. Chester Rogers had a really nice game, 7 grabs for 54 and a touch. Those aren't astronomical numbers, but consistency, right? 7 catches on 7 targets. He's able to move the chains. He became a third down weapon for the Colts and a second and long weapon even. Dontrell Inman, another good game for him, 4 on 5 targets for 46 and a touch. And we saw Zach Pascal get 4 catches. Naheem Hines took in 4 balls. Eric Ebron had a few catches before he went out for the game. That's going to be an issue going forward. So we're going to talk about that too here in just a moment. But all in all, we're continuing to see that the Colts are spreading the ball around, and everybody is considered a weapon of some sort. You know, we've even seen Ryan Grant catch a couple balls in the past, and as much as we saw and thought that he initially, because like I was very down on him in camp, I think you guys probably remember that. I was not a big fan of him in camp. I just didn't see or understand the hype that the coaches were putting in him, and it seemed like in the first maybe, 3, 4, maybe even 5 games, he was really coming to play. And I was, you know, kind of going back on my words thinking, well, he's definitely, you know, started to come around. He's been a ghost the past 8 weeks. I mean, he's just not been anything. So it was nice to see him get back involved in the game. Always nice to see them continuing now to get T.Y. Hilton involved early and often, getting some big plays, had a 55-yard catch in this one. Just really impressive. On the other hand, the Giants wide receivers were phenomenal, in my opinion, the other day. Sterling Shepard caught 6 balls for 113. Evan Ingram, the tight end, was very impressive. They game-planned him around the Colts linebackers, and you could see the smile on their coach's face when he was dialing up something for him. Barkley caught 5 passes out of the backfield, and the rest were, you know, just a couple passes here and there. 26 yards from Benny Fowler was the longest or the most that anybody else had on the roster. So they just were catching some really tough passes, man. And then once again, Darius Leonard leads the team in tackles, definitely leads them with 8 solos. Matthew Adams had 3 tackles for loss. Jabal Sheard had 1. Al-Kadeen Muhammad had 1. And Denico Autry had 1 again. Only a couple tackles from Autry this time. He also had a QB hit. Looked like he was possibly going to get himself a sack. Kimiko Ture ended up getting a quarterback hit as well as Tyquan Lewis. So we saw the defense kind of start to shut things down in that second half, and more importantly in the fourth quarter, and be able to get some stops, get that stop. I mean, that Denico Autry stop along, you know, inside of the red zone was huge. Forced a field goal. Definitely kept the Colts within striking distance and allowed the Colts ultimately to win the game. If that's a touchdown, the Colts don't win this game. The Colts are out of the playoffs. I mean, ultimately. So we saw some big plays from the defense when they needed to have them. We saw the Colts shut down, tighten up, and really kind of try to take this game over defensively. And, of course, the Colts score what on I think three of five of their last five drives or whatever it was. Really impressive that they can kind of flip the switch like that. The Colts have to start hot though. They've not been starting hot lately, and that's I don't know if that's a problem necessarily, because they're always in that area. They always have the ability to get things done, and they're just kind of taking their sweet time to do it. And I'm not really a fan of that. I like to see them at least get a score in the first quarter. It doesn't necessarily have to be a touchdown, but man, you've got to at least put up a couple field goals. You know what I mean? They have to be able to do that. They got to keep on the board early. It's kind of one of those things you just have to continue to put points on the board. If you got points, get them. And if they can, you know, the offense is going to come around even if it's a little stagnant. And at some point, that offense is going to click and things are going to start happening for them. So you just want them to take the points that they can get, make sure they're putting something up consistently. And three and outs have really been a kick in the ass, honestly, for the Colts lately. Over the past, 3 weeks, I think they've – man, I had this number in my head, and I've completely forgotten it, but it was way too many three and outs. I think double-digit three and outs in the past 3 weeks, and that's just not something that they can do. They cannot have that. That is not winning football. That is not going to win against good teams, okay? The Colts, you know, okay, they beat the Cowboys. They beat the Giants, and the Giants are playing pretty well. I mean, for considering all the injuries that they had and the players that were out of the game, the players that they didn't have, you know, through that stretch of the season. This is not something that the Colts can handle as a wild card team. You know, if they have to go and they have to play, well, whoever it is, it doesn't make a difference. The Chargers, the Chiefs, the Patriots, it doesn't matter. The Ravens, the Steelers, it does not matter who the Colts have to play, or the Texans even for that matter. They can't continue to do that. They're not going to win those games if they continue to go three and out and don't score in the first half. So these are things that the Colts need to get straightened out. I'm sure that they will. The running game needs to improve to be a more consistent thing. We did see some nice runs from Marlon Mack. We didn't see a lot of them, though, and that was kind of one of the things. You get the ball, they get some loss, you get a loss of yards or no gain or a short gain, and that average and that impression through the running game really starts to shrink. And we've seen that over the past couple of weeks. A couple nice runs, and then, you know, a 4 and 5, little to nothing gains after that, and it just really kind of falls apart. So we're going to take a quick break here and hear from our sponsor, TickPick, and then we'll get back to what we're going to see in Week 17, the flex game for the Indianapolis Colts traveling to the Tennessee Titans, and a win and in situation. All right, Colts fans, we have a great deal for you. Let me tell you guys about TickPick, this amazing app to buy tickets to any game, concert, or other event. Are you looking for tickets to this week's game and want to know exactly what you're going to pay for those tickets? I do. And if you do too, then TickPick and their amazing and simple app is right up your alley. The TickPick app is extremely easy to use, and best of all, there are absolutely no surprises at checkout. Listen, you find the game, find the seats you want, and you're all set. Think StubHub without any fees. You get the same tickets, same seller, but absolutely zero fees. You save 10 to 15% on every ticket order. And get this, for our listeners, they're offering you an amazing offer of $15 off any single order over $99 through the end of the season. All you have to do is enter SB Colts as your gift code at checkout. This isn't a sign-up only offer either. They went all in for you guys. Not only do I use TickPick, but I approached them and wanted to get the word out on this company because it was so stinking easy, and nobody likes to find the seats they want, then get that smack in the face at checkout of another $35 to $50 in fees being added. I'll never use another ticket app again. It's very user-friendly, and you get the same great tickets with lightning-quick ticket transfers. Remember, that's TickPick, and use the gift code SBColts to save yourself $15 on any order over $99. Go to TickPick and take advantage of this offer today, 100% verified Colts tickets without any fees. All right, folks, welcome back to the show. Now let's look at what we got going forward here. The Colts injury report for today. Matthew Adams, Eric Ebron, concussion. Clayton Gethers, knee. Matthew Adams is a groin, by the way. Ryan Hewitt's a foot. T.Y. Hilton, ankle still. Dontrell Inman's shoulder. Ryan Kelly, his neck issues that he suffered when he left the game. And Quincy Wilson, a calf. None of them practiced. None of them participated in any way Wednesday. Dorice Fountain, Malik Hooker, Zach Pascal, Jabal Sheard, and Anthony Walker, who was back at practice, were all limited participants. It's nice to see Walker back because I think we saw what an important piece he is. Okay, he's not Darius Leonard, but he is a very important piece. Now, Matthew Adams did a nice job, I think, filling in when he did because he kind of makes his way through there. Zaire Franklin did okay. But they really need Anthony Walker. He's a very comfortable guy for the Colts in the center of that defense, and he is kind of their leader, even though he is not the leader in terms of tackles, you know, statistical. I think he's probably more consistent with the vocal leader of that group in terms of getting people where they need to be, calling out the plays, and just really getting everything in line and in order. This is another week, guys, where we see a ton of Colts on their injury report. This I wouldn't say that I'm worried because I have a feel. I mean, there's no way T.Y. Hilton's going to miss this game, in my opinion. I mean, there just isn't. You know, Matthew Adams, is he a big part of it? He's a big special teams part, most definitely, and he's a heck of a good rotational piece. Ebron, I think there's a little bit of concern with that as well. The Colts can make it without him, but we saw Miley Cox just isn't that consistent. He's just not that guy, right? Not yet. He's made some big plays. He's a heck of an athlete, a big body, a guy that they can use in the red zone. He's just not somebody that they can kind of count on. And, you know, for that matter, Eric Ebron deserves a little bit of, you know, a little bit of smack and on the wrist here with the way he's been just kind of very lackadaisically trying to catch the ball. He's had some drop issues in the past. This dude's got to just concentrate, man, because you can tell that his eyes are not on the ball when it comes in. He's catching the ball or trying to catch the ball like with the heels of his hands. It's really strange. You just don't see that from a guy who's had such an impressive season this year. He's got to get his ass in line. I mean, honestly, he is a big-time player on a big-time team that is looking to make some big-time moves, and he can't be the guy who's dropping balls in the middle of the field with nobody around him. That can't happen. He better get his ass in line, or the Colts aren't going to be able to, you know, move on, in my opinion. He's going to be huge if he plays in Week 17, which I suspect he will, but concussions are very difficult to read. You will never know until that comes up or until they talk about it specifically. On the other hand, he's a guy that they're going to have to use. He's a weapon for this team and a big weapon for this team. He's a good route runner. He's a big, lanky guy. He gets down the field quickly. He's got some wheels. He's got to be able to catch the ball, and he's got to be able to be smart. So hoping that he can bring that is a big piece there. Like I said, I do not see a situation in where T.Y. Hilton will not play. I think that the Colts really need Inman. I think that he is a good piece. He's nobody special right now, but he's just one of those unsung heroes, in my opinion. The guy that goes out there, is consistent, runs good routes, runs good pick routes, is a good solid blocker, and catches the ball. I really like Dontrell Inman for what he brings to the team. Ryan Kelly's a big piece, obviously. Quincy Wilson, I want to say disappointment at this point, just because of we're not seeing a lot of big plays from him, and I expected him to be a playmaker this year, and we're not really seeing that. So the rest of the guys, you know, I'd like to see, you know, the rest of them get and stay healthy. Kind of crazy. Jabal Sheard was limited with teeth. I'm kind of curious to see what the hell that's all about. But so another lengthy injury report for the Colts here on Wednesday following Christmas, and hopefully that that changes throughout the week, that some guys come back and become full participants, especially the guys who are limited. But we want to see some of those guys that were did not participate. We want to see them back in the lineup and back in action as well. So let's take a look over at the Tennessee Titans side of things here. Sharif Finch, he was a full participant. Marcus Mariota did not participate because of neck and foot. Or Brian Arakpo did not participate with his elbow injury, and Tajay Sharp, wide receiver with an ankle, he was limited. But that's it for them, okay? That's it. Now, that's not much of an injury report. That it just seems, you know, very, very light. On the other hand, we've got, a little bit of, Jarrell Casey. You know, he is no longer on the roster. He is on injured reserve now. So that's a big, big, piece right there, guys. Drill Casey is a bad man, okay? That's a big piece and a big chink in their armor up front defensively, in my opinion, where the Colts are going to have to exploit that. The way that they can exploit it, though, is they've got to have Ryan Kelly healthy, in my opinion. Hope that Mark Glowinski can stay healthy, get healthy, come back, be good. That's just something that the Colts absolutely and desperately need for all things in line. I mean, everything has to be good for the Colts here going forward. They just cannot afford to not have everybody on the same page. They have to have this line back in order. The running game's got to be tight. It's got to be tough. They've got to be able to give Andrew some time to throw. We've seen how impressive and how accurate and how deadly, quite frankly, that he can be when he's got the time and the complement of the running game. It just is something to behold. I mean, literally turning guys like, I mean, Dontrell Inman and Chester Rogers into really good pieces as wide receivers. I mean, Zach Pascal, it's turning into a solid receiver. Nobody knows who the hell Zach Pascal is, or Pascal, or however. Pascal is how I say it. I don't even know why I do that. Any way you look at it, though, Andrew Luck has been tearing it up this year. It's been phenomenal watching him play, watching him become, you know, in my opinion, a top five quarterback yet again. And there just really is no explanation. There's no argument as to that he's not one of the best, deadliest quarterbacks in the league this year. 36 touchdowns, only 14 picks. I mean, over 4,300 yards, just over a 67% completion rate. 600 attempts already. He's probably going to have I'll bet he has close to 650 when it comes down to it. It really depends. I mean, does he have another 40-plus attempt game against the Titans? If he does, that's not good. It really isn't. But at the same time, I think that the Colts are going to come out gunning. I think that they might try to use their running game to complement Andrew Luck in the passing game. That might be a good way to go, try to get that defensive front kind of off balance. And then use the running game. I would love to see them use the screen game, but they have to have a way to use it effectively. The way that they continue to try to open up the screen game is just not good. This is something that the Colts are going to have to work on for next year even. But it's a big piece, man. They've got some guys who can run the ball in open field, okay? I mean, I like Jordan Wilkins. I like Nyheim Hines, and I like Marlon Mack. They could all do damage in open field in the screen game, but Jesus, we have got to be able to block it, and they cannot block it. They cannot block it, and I don't know, maybe even Andrew Luck is not great in the screen game himself. Maybe he's just not selling it enough or something. I don't know what it is, but man, there are at least a couple aspects of the screen game that are just absolute garbage right now for the Colts. They've got to improve that because those can be big plays, big explosive plays. When you've got guys on the outside or the running backs that can make those plays and can really do something with the ball in their hands in open field with a couple blockers in front of them, you've got to be able to get that. So we'll see what happens with that and how that turns out. But defensively, you know, what are the Colts going to, you know, be doing this week? They're going to be going up against Derrick Henry, like I mentioned earlier on in the show. This is something that the Colts really have to stop him. And not just have to stop him, they've really got to stop him quickly. They've got to stop him immediately. They've got to be able to take his feet out from underneath him, get in the backfield the way that they have in the past this year, get some more of those tackles for loss, get his feet going, make him dance in the backfield. He's not a start and stop explosion type guy. He is a powerful runner who cannot run without his feet, just like any other running back. They've got to get into his knees and his thighs and get him on the ground, and they've got to do it with a couple different guys. You're going to see a more obvious approach to a powerful front four. I think Marcus Hunt is going to be getting a lot of snaps. I think Tyquan Lewis will continue to get a lot of snaps. Obviously, Autry has done a great job getting into the backfield. And then you're going to see the guys, whoever's rotating in and out of here, you're going to see those be the guys who are going to get the start that can be the most powerful and go after the lower body. Because right now, you can't tackle Derrick Henry above the waist. You're going to get a stiff arm, and you're going to be eating dirt. And that's just the way it is. That's not something that the Colts can afford to do. They surely cannot do that in week 17 when their season is on the line. So look, the Colts have Marcus Mariota, probably to play against, okay? If they don't, they're looking at Blaine Gabbert and Austin Davis, okay? They are in, look, the Titans are in a win and end situation too, guys, okay? Same record. Colts go into their house. They've never beaten Andrew Luck. They are not, I mean, guys are not going to sit in this kind of a situation. Marcus Mariota has been injured constantly throughout his career. He's average outside the numbers. He's very average in a lot of different places. One of the things that he is pretty stinking good at, though, is those quick release and allowing those guys to do something with the ball after the catch. Those are the big things for Marcus Mariota and what he does. The Colts have to stack that middle of the field. Their linebackers have to be good. They've got to take out the easy passing lanes. They've got to force him to throw laterally as well as downfield. And if they can do that, the Colts are in really good shape, in my opinion, because the Colts are a very good team in pursuit. The Colts are a team who can get to Marcus Mariota. They've proven that. This is going to be a fun game. I mean, this is going to be a game where the entire country is watching. They all want to see one of these teams, honestly, kick the other's teeth in, because they don't want to see chump teams in the playoffs. They don't. They don't want this to be a 7-3 game or a 7-6 game or even a 10-7 game. They want this to be either a blowout where one team looks great so that they can have confidence in that team going into the playoffs, or a game that's literally like a 34-31 shootout where it's like, I don't care who wins this game. One of these teams is going to be great for the playoffs. Obviously, we know where we stand on that. We know that we want the Colts to be the team that is just smoke showing the Titans again. And I think that they will. I honestly believe that they will. The Colts have all that ability. They've proven, though, that they can be slow starters. And that's something that they cannot continue to do. Frank Reich has said as much. And I believe that they're making that a very, they're driving that home, I think, this week in practice. That cannot be the case. We have got to be steady. We have got to be consistent and execute. And we've got to do it from the first snap of the ball game. That is going to be what Frank Reich is installing into these guys' brains for this Week 17 matchup, because there is not a bigger game of the year. The Colts had that time in Week 4 against the Texans where they could have taken the tie. They ended up taking the loss. They've had a couple games they should have won this year. They didn't. They've come back and had an excellent second half to the season, winning a ton of games, and now they are in a situation where nothing else matters besides this game. They cannot miss out on the playoffs if they win this game. They will absolutely miss out on the playoffs if they don't win this game. This is the kind of the way that it happens, and this is you don't want your team to be in any other situation. They totally control their fate. This is what the Colts are doing this week. We win the game. We play in the playoffs. We will find out what we're made of. And I am so excited for that. I am so excited for that. You guys have heard some of my excitement in the past weeks about this team being possible playoff contenders, what I feel like they can do in the playoffs, regardless of the matchup that they see. This offense can play with anybody. This defense can turn everybody over. They do turn everybody over. These are things that win games in the postseason. I am so excited to see what this team can do. They've got to win this one first, though. They have to win this one first, or all that is just thought for next year. And that sucks, and I will not be fond of that. That will not make me a happy camper at all, because there's one thing that drives me more nuts than just missing or losing a game that you should have won, and it's knowing that there is not another one until next season. And you constantly have to talk about what if, what happens then, how it's going to look if, and I cannot stand doing that for another 6 months. I need this Colts team to be on their game so that we can talk next week about who their matchup is in the first round of the playoffs. So I hope you guys are excited about this game as much as I am. It's going to be a great week. Stephen Holder is going to have a show up this week as well, and we're going to get as much as we can late in the week. Like I said, sorry about the, you know, kind of the late start to the week, but look, it's Christmas. I wanted you guys all to spend time with your families. I wanted to do the same, and I did. So we'll get a little bit late start this week, but we know what's ahead of us with the Titans. Like I said, we'll hear from Steven. I should have another show up before the game, and we'll go from there. And it's going to be a great week, guys. So I hope that you guys are all looking forward to it. We will reconvene here shortly, and we'll talk about a little bit more of what we're going to see with the Colts and the Titans in Week 17. So thank you guys all for listening. I'll talk to you next time right here on the Colts Cast. Stampede Blue.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seems Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.